It's been a long month, and apparently we're very tired, cranky, and ready for vacation. I don't think there's a better way of putting it. It's been an Oberjahr, and an Oberjahr is that extra month that's just the unexpected month where you're just like, no, it's supposed to be Purim now, and it just doesn't happen. It's still smart, as everyone says. So Chaim Shmulevitz and Revolbi used to put a little bit more kochos into the end because they knew that everyone else was slacking off, so they figured this is the time that they would put in. They say that that's why he wrote Sichos Musar, but let's remember that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz is also Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. For normal people, that's very difficult. Because how he's doing it is because everyone else normal, right, was doing this. See, so what is Sosman? Sosman is a time for us to reflect. What have I done? What have I accomplished? What is this man? What has this man been all about? What have we really done during this whole Sosman? So it could be that you've built up your commitment to something, that you've built up your commitment to Seder, you've built up your commitment to davening, you've built up your commitment to doing something. Your night Seder, right, has gone, that you've done more during night Seder than you've done in previous times. You've finished blot after blot of Gemara, and whether you fully understood it or just sort of understood it, at least you've done what you're supposed to have done. I mean, you can have done, in my year, we've done 23 blot this year, 23 blot altogether. In other years, where Friedman is about the same amount, where Rabbi Sussman is a little bit less, with more Meforshim. You've done Musar, you've done Chumash, you've done Halacha, you've, aside from all the other things that you've done, aside from the AHS classes, which are also important, except for economics, apparently, it's a microeconomics, right? But everything else, in philosophy, Jewish history, etc., right? Everything else that you've done, you've accomplished. Meaning you have done something, you're more knowledgeable than you have been in the past, you know more. You've worked on Benel and Lachavero, you're friends with people that you had no idea who they were 9 months ago. Let's hope it's not the other way. You've learned to respect people for their differences, because the honest truth is that this yeshiva is nothing. It's not for major hashkafic differences between everyone. And, you know, there are differences that everybody's going to have. And the fact is that there are people that have very, very definite opinions, varied opinions, and you've been able to accept them. You've been able to deal with them, and there haven't been any major fights, not that I know about, in which people have punched each other in the face. So it seems to be pretty good. So the difference is, right now, you're a person. You're a gavra. You've built yourself up. You've gotten through this time. And now it's done. Now it's over. I mean, this is it. I mean, literally it. So what do you do now? So where are we? What do we do over the next couple of weeks? So we have to know, Bein HaZmanim is a Zman. It's not just between the Zmanim. There is a Zman called Bein HaZman. But it's a different type of Zman. See, up until now, you've been dealing with things that are more inside, in the book, dealing with things that are Bein Adam L'Chavero, that are right there with your friends and everything like that. But it's a different type of Bein Adam L'Chavero that we gear Bein HaZmanim toward. Now it's dealing with the people that are outside your yeshiva walls. Are you going to help? Are you going to act like a normal person? Are you going to make a Kiddush Hashem wherever you go? See, that's the most important thing. What are you going to do when you leave the walls of the Beis Medrash and leave the walls of your room? What are you doing when you go out there? Sure, it's great to go to Jewel once in a while, to go into West Rogers Park for a little bit, and to hang out in all these different places around Chicago, but you don't have a base. The base is the place where you spend, I know there's a double entendre there, but the B-A-S-E, right, is the place where you're spending the most of your day, the main part of your day, and that could be anywhere between 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, to almost 24 hours of the day. Right, where are you coming back to without that schus of Limud HaTorah? And I mean Limud HaTorah, meaning during the Siddurim and doing what you have, without being stuck in the walls and having other places to go, and we all know it's starting to get warm outside, that has terrible ramifications regarding our eyes. When you're not in, so then what happens? Where does the protection go? What are we going to do when that comes out? See, Bein HaZman is a time when heterim start popping up in your head that you would never have done if it was during this month. That during this month, there's no way I would ever do this. It's not what I would do. There's more time to waste. There's more things that you just find to do. And we know what the Gemara says. It's ksuvah stav nun tesem aveiz. Ksuvah stav nun tesem aveiz. Batolah mevia lidei zima. Batolah leads a person to come to zima, to do terrible things that he never would have done normal. So you have to be careful. I mean, the honest truth is, the most careful you have to be is at night. At night, when everybody else is asleep and you're by yourself, that's the most important thing. And you have to have some rules. You have to be able to decide, what can I do and what I can't do? For number one, do not charge your phone near your bed. You need an alarm clock? Go get $3 and go to Walmart. Okay? And go get another alarm clock that's not your phone. You cannot charge your phone near your bed. Okay? It has to be outside your bedroom. Laptops, tablet computers, they should not be in your room overnight. There's yichud with a girl, there's yichud with a computer. Most probably there's yichud with your phone also, depending on Wi-Fi in the house and everything like that. You have to be careful. Don't keep it in your room. Charge it in the living room. Charge it in the dining room, somewhere where it's not going to be with you. That's simple. Never go on the internet past 11:30, right? Unless someone kosher, and that means someone that you're embarrassed of and you wouldn't do anything in front of, is there with you. Those things are obvious, but they have to be overstated. They have to be overstated. There is no reason why you should be doing anything like that at night. You want to finish off something that you were starting before? I don't know, let's say a really kosher, clean TV show. Let's say it's like something that doesn't even have women in it, and they only speak about, you know, like, I don't know, something in cartoonish land. Even cartoons are not kosher anymore, but whatever it is, like, anything that you could, if you want to finish off something and you want to go through. Oh, I remember the original Hobbit movie. The original Hobbit movie, I think, has no girls in it. Is there a single girl throughout the entire movie?
There's one.
There's only 12 men. Are they angry? I don't know what that is, to be honest with you. And then, you know, if you want suggestions, go to Eddie. You can figure out, you know, like these types of things. You can't let yourself pass that. And again, if there's somebody with you that's a little bit better, but it depends who the guy is. If the guy is egging you on, that's even worse. You just got to be careful with stuff like that. Start your day. Number two, start your day as early as you can. That means 9 o'clock minyan is your b'di'evet, not your l'chachila. That's the 9 o'clock. The 8 o'clock minyan should really be a b'di'evet, not a l'chachila. Go for something a little bit earlier. If you can get up at 7:15 or 6:45, even better. You can get up for Vatikin. Vatikin right now is 7:06 or something like that. I forgot. I didn't check. But 7:06. You can get up for Vatikin if you can get there. It's great. That's absolutely great. If you can make it there, that means minyan starts at around 6:35, 6:40. If you can do that's unbelievable. That's by far the best. Start your day early, and then, I'm sorry, that also means you're going to have to sleep earlier, you're going to go to sleep earlier, you're going to have a better rest while you're there at night, because you're going to be tired by the time night comes through. Learn after davening before breakfast. Do not go to breakfast, because breakfast turns into an ordeal, and then a whole thing, and everything like that. Just learn, just sit down and learn, even if you're just saying, well, I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts, I'm just going to grab a donut or two, and then I'm going to come back really quickly. It's not worth it, just knock it out, yeah.
Or you can bring food with you to the base matters.
Bring it into the base matters. Yeah, you leave it with you. Have something there. Go get your food at 6 a.m., you know, before you get up for davening, to be able to go. Have something there. And it's important to make sure that you get that learning done, whether it's 20 minutes, a half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever you're ready for, whatever you think you can handle after chakras. Make sure that you get some before everything gets crazy during the day, because once the day happens, once it's there, you get up for a 9 o'clock minyan. By the time you're done with breakfast, it's 10:30. It's 10:30 a.m. You don't think you're going to have stuff to do that day. Maybe you don't. Maybe you guys are just, you know, you have absolutely nothing to do. But the day is gone. You missed 4 hours of the day that you could have used. 4 hours are gone. It's just not worth it. You just get yourself going a little bit quicker. Take it upon yourself to learn Haggadah before the Seder. So right now we're dealing with Tuesday. You have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, and maybe Monday, depending on how your day goes, to learn about the Haggadah, to get things down and to write things down and to have things ready for when the Seder comes. So you're not going in like, oh my gosh, Rabbi Elizabeth and Zarya said what? That should not happen, ever. You should be able to know exactly what's going on, getting yourself ready for it. That's number one. Once Pesach starts and you're done with that, do Shir HaShirim. You have from Monday, Tuesday, but technically Monday night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. You can learn all about Shir HaShirim that we're going to read on Chol HaMoed Pesach. Learn all about Shir HaShirim. If you need help, look at an art school and go look at the translation. It's not directly translated, indirectly translated. Tremendous pirushim that are given over there. Go learn it up with the Malbim. Go see what Shir HaShirim is all about, just with Rashi. Why don't even Malbim? Do it with Rashi and see what Rashi says on Shir HaShirim. It's amazing. It's the most amazing parish. The most amazing parish, and everything is good. Once you finish that, and once Shabbos goes by, then learn Al Yashir. You have Shabbos, you have Sunday, you have Monday, you have Tuesday. During those days of Yom Tov, you can learn Al Yashir. And then once that happens, and Yom Tov's all over, okay, so there's the cleaning and everything, but Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, you can learn Parshas Kedoshim. Get yourself ready for the upcoming month. Most Shirim are learning from the third parak on. My Shir is going on in the second parak. Most Shirim are starting from the third parak. So get yourself ready from the third parak. Try to see what Eilin Ar's all about. If you have time, you can say that there's so much to do, so much to prepare yourself for. you have to, and aside from all those preparations, the things that you can learn, find time for Mincha and Maariv. Find the time. Know what time Mincha is, and if you can make an early minyan, do it. And if you can't, know that Mincha is probably 7:10, depending on where you live, 7:05, 7:10, maybe a little bit later, maybe a little bit earlier, right around that time during the week, and make sure you're not late for Mincha. In other words, get there a little bit early and learn a little bit of something right before there. If Mincha is around 7, so get there at like 15 minutes early. Try to make a seder with somebody right before Mincha so that you make sure you're there. It should be right after dinner, so you just ate dinner, you should be able to get to the base matters, get yourself there, daven Mincha, sit there in between Maariv, and then daven Maariv, get it all done, make sure you're there. You get 3 minyanim a day, so you no longer have the excuse of, I'm in the dorm, I'm so far away. you don't have that excuse anymore. Mincha and Maariv are right next to each other. Set up your day so that you know, Mincha, when am I davening Mincha today? Can I daven at 1:30? If I can't daven at 1:30, can I daven at 3 o'clock or whatever? Is there a minyan that I can get? If not, I have to daven at 7:10, so let me make sure my dinner will be over by 7:10, or whatever it is, to make sure. But I don't want it to be like at 7:05, you're just like, oh my gosh, I got to daven Mincha, I don't have time, what am I going to do? That shouldn't be. You should have set up your day beforehand that you're already done. And the most important thing, by far, is just remember, a guy in yeshiva, especially when they're in base medrash, many people do not understand what you're doing. They have no clue where you are or why you're doing it. They don't understand why you're not in college, and they don't understand why you don't have time, why you seem to not have time. Guys in college have tons of time. I mean, what is there? There's like 7 hours a day of drinking, and then there's 3 hours a day of classes, a couple hours a day of homework, and then what? There's not much else you can do. I mean, you really have a ton of time in your hands, right? But they don't understand. Like, it's different when you're in yeshiva together with, they don't understand that. So they're expecting something a little bit different. If you act the same way other people do who are going to regular colleges, well, then you're off. Then you're really off. If you're acting the same way that people do when they're in business and they're not able to learn for 5, 6, 7 hours a day, that's off. That's not who you are. You're a guy in yeshiva. And when you're a guy in yeshiva, even if you can't be the best you can be while you're here because there's no inspiration for you to do it sometimes. And you're in those times, the Yemei Asina, the days of just hatred when things are not going as well. When you're home, when you're around, whatever you're doing, make sure you're the guy that's different from everyone else. You are different. You are 100% different. You're in a different status. You're in a different mode than they all are. Listen, you're impressionable to young people as well. And if people look up to you, if young guys look at you and they say, that's the person I want to be like, I want to be in yeshiva as well, then maybe they will be in yeshiva. Maybe they will end up going to yeshiva. And they'll end up doing something because you, they looked at you and they said, look at that guy. That's the guy that I want to be like. That's the cool older guy, right, that goes to yeshiva and he wants to be in yeshiva. I want to be like him. Know that the entire world can be looking at you that way. And I do understand. We live in a narcissistic world. We live in a world where everybody is looking out for themselves. Where am I and what am I doing? And it's very difficult to think about anybody else aside from yourself. Just remember, people are watching, and the worst thing to do is to make a chilul Hashem that's not there. For example, when you are invited to eat at a bris, you're invited to sit at the bris, not to take food and then leave. That's not what you're invited to do. A bris is not grab the food and leave. If you have to go for whatever reason, then you have to go. Okay, then you have something to do. You have to go. You say your mazel tov as long as you get your mazel tov in. So like, thank you so much. And there are some brises where you'll see like a little styrofoam container, you know, for people to grab their stuff and leave. That's perfectly fine. If that's what they're, you know, people are going and they have to do stuff, that's all there. If you're going to grab stuff from a bris and then eat it in the other room just because you don't want to be there for the speeches, no, that's not cool. That's not what you do. That's not the way a normal human being acts. If you're going to go ahead and you're going to be mishtatif in their simcha, then be mishtatif in the simcha. Don't be mishtatif in the food. That just shows that you're in it for your stomach. You're not in it for anything else. That's not what you're there for. It's clear. You're telling the Balbris, and the Balbris will see you. He's walking outside the room, and he sees you with a colorful plate and a colorful napkin. I don't know if you've noticed the differences between plates of bris milas and the plates that we have here, which are made of styrofoam white. You can tell a little bit. The guy's seeing you eating his food outside of the bris mila room, and all he's thinking is, why is he not in the room? He's not thinking because he's got to go somewhere. He's thinking he doesn't want to be at my bris. So why did he come in the first place? So why did he take the food in the first place? You have to understand what these people, you might have had the best excuse in the world, but you have to know what other people are thinking when you're doing that. And it's not only the Balbris, it's anybody else that's there. Anybody who walks by Yeshiva Bachur that's sitting there eating a bris meal outside of the bris area is thinking to himself, what's going on here? What's happening here? It goes with weddings, it goes with anything that you're at. Just have to remember, people are looking at you, and they don't realize that you need your 20-minute nap before Seder. It's possible you do need it, but they don't realize that. They're just going to be thinking terrible, terrible things. Number two, playing basketball, playing baseball, playing football, playing a sport, and missing a shot, not striking out, or something else, right? And you mess up, and swearing, saying a curse word, even if it's not a curse word, even if it's close to a curse word, but it's not exactly a curse word. It's you're saying like something that in Yiddish is technically a swear word, or you got something in Russian, and you were mechaven zayin, you know, like I don't even know what they are, but you just have something, and you yell it out loud, and you just say like, you just blurt it out. People are watching you. They know you're in yeshiva. They know you're in yeshiva. Nivolta is a terrible thing to be able to have, and it changes the whole mode, changes everything. I'm telling you, I play in this basketball thing on Motzei Shabbos. When a guy swears, I just stare at them. I'm just like, what? Why? And they all go, all right, Rabbi, we'll stop. Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be. It's the reason why I don't play in the... Well, one of the reasons why I don't play in the ADL. The other reason is because I'm crazy. But one of the reasons why I don't play in the ADL, I can't take it. I cannot take the cursing. Cannot take it. Just one word. Not one word. I can't. It's so difficult. When you're going to be playing sports, you're going to have a lot of extra time to be able to do this and that and the other. So be careful with what you're saying and how it comes out. Number two, don't leave davening early unless you have a darn good excuse. There is no reason to leave davening early when you're on vacation before Ashrei Uvel Letzion. And I don't mean like after, okay, so Ashrei. And it's Ashrei. No, there's no reason to leave before the last Kaddish. Where are we going? Unless you really have something to do. And again, if you really have something to do, then go to an earlier minyan. What are you davening at the 8 or 9 o'clock minyan for? If you really have to be somewhere by 9:20, don't go to a 9 o'clock minyan. You won't make it. You're not going to make it. That means you're leaving at Ashrei, the first one. that's not going to work. Don't get around during that time. So find some time that you can do it and make sure you go earlier. But don't leave beforehand. If you're leaving beforehand, what that means is that I'm not machshav at the end of davening. Aleinu, the yom, the last kaddishes. And you could say, well, I finished Aleinu, and I finished the yom. But think of what people are thinking. And I know we're not doing it for anybody else. It's not about anybody else. It's about making a Kiddush Hashem. And the Kiddush Hashem is you are in yeshiva. You're in yeshiva. When you're in yeshiva, you have to be able to make... People have to know this is the way Yeshiva Bachur acts. Whether you like it or not, that's the way it is. Number four, not holding a door open for a person who's walking right behind you. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, where a person is walking into a door, presses the buttons, right? Opens up the door, and then walks in and just lets the door slam. And you're just like... Shkoyach. I appreciate that. Now, luckily here in Skokie, you don't have to worry about that because the doors are usually open even when the locks are not. You don't have to worry about that. It's just the middle door, the door on the left. There's something open. So, you know, even when you close the door behind you, don't worry. It's all open somewhere. But always look behind you. Just take one quick look. Just look at the glass right there in front of you. What do you see? Do you see a person behind you or is there no person behind you? If there's a person behind you, wait a couple seconds. It doesn't matter if you're a little late for something, 2 or 3, 4 seconds late. Wait a couple seconds. See if that person's coming, and if he is, then keep the door open. Keep the door open and wait for the person. When the person says, thank you so much, they're like, no problem, not a problem, my pleasure. That's what you want to do. You want to be able to do it. If somebody holds the door open for you, then help. Don't be that guy who's like, no, please you first. No, please you first. Don't waste everybody's time. Okay? The guy's holding the door open for you, say thank you very much, and then hold the next door open for him. Or do something for him, you know? Say, like, thank you so much. But don't be that guy who's just like, no, please, age before beauty. That doesn't work. I mean, unless you're really good-looking, that's not going to work. Number five. When you're in shul and people are trying to say good Shabbos or good Yom Tov to you, remember, there are people who have not seen you in a little bit. There are people who may have, you know, you've been around, but you haven't really been around. You're going to see more people than you're used to. Somebody may want to say good Shabbos or good Yom Tov to you, and you're going to be totally oblivious. You're going to be totally oblivious. You won't notice, you won't realize, whatever it is. Look out. Just look around for people who may want to say good Shabbos or Yom Tov. Say good Shabbos or Yom Tov to everyone you can. Everyone you can. People get very offended, and I've been told this tons of times, where this guy came back and he didn't say anything. It's just, you don't realize it. You don't even realize it. You're walking right by a person. A person once told me that his father was unbelievably angry at me. Why was his father unbelievably angry at me? Because I walked by him and I didn't wish him a good Shabbos. I have no idea when that happened or where this guy was. We don't doubt him in the same shul. We have no... I don't think I was in the same show. I'm pretty sure he didn't even know who I was. I'm pretty sure he thought I was somebody else. And I just walked, you know, somebody walked by without saying good Shabbos. People are offended by that. Remember, people want to say good Shabbos and yom tov to you. People that you know, people that you thought you knew. It doesn't matter. People are going to try. So go up, say hello, say good Shabbos, and be the first person to say it rather than the second person. Don't make them come up to you and take a Shabbos good yom tov as if you're the rov or the shul and getting up there and waiting for everybody. Because Shabbos, oh, it's so good. Go up to them. Go up to people and say good Shabbos good yom tov and make sure you say hi. Number six, don't leave anything dirty on a table. Like dirty tissues or a plate that you just ate from. The worst thing that a mother wants to see on the table is when a guy goes out and eats something, you know, has a whole plate of food or whatever it is, and like leaves like a massive mess on the table and just like gets up and leaves. Why do you get up and leave? I don't know, you have to go to the bathroom or he's just friend called him or whatever it is. Clean up right before. You get a phone call, they're like, ah, that was so funny, hold on 1 second. Put him on hold for a second, take your plate, go throw it out, and then go ahead and take the phone call. The last thing you want is somebody saying that. Now, it goes by everywhere. I've seen people literally dirty tissues with dirty tissues that are just sitting on a table. They just like get up and they go. You know, something that they had in their nose for about 3 hours, and it's just like they roll it up in a little ball, leave it on a table, and they're just like, shine. Somebody else will clean it up for me. That's disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting. That's rancid. That's not human. That's like, that's barely animal. It's almost mineral. Possibly that's part of like the mold part of life. I mean, it's the most disgusting thing in the world. I can't understand how people do that. I still remember one of the best lessons I've ever had. I had an unreal cold. It must have been allergies, and I was in a shul in Eretz Yisrael, and I was using like a whole box of tissues, and like eight, and it literally like filled up my pockets. Like, it was disgusting, and I couldn't leave because it was in the middle of landing. I didn't want to leave, and I had it, and I put one tissue down on the table, and this one Yekish guy like came up to me, and he was just like, "No, what is this? This is a shul, you know, in Hebrew, obviously. This is a shul. You know what it was? You know that mikvah shul."
Oh.
In Ramada Shkol?
Yeah.
So, so like, this guy came up to me and he's like, oh, this is a shul. We don't put dirty tissues down. I'm just like, I have no blood. It was like stuffed with everything. I was just like, all right. So I just took him outside and I just emptied. I like filled up the entire garbage. He's just like, he's right. He's right. It's not the way it goes. You shouldn't. There's no way. There's no reason. Again, a yeshiva guy shouldn't leave a mess and whatever it is. And number seven, that goes with this as well. Leaving a mess in the washroom as well. Okay. I don't know if you've seen towels after a person and goes to the washroom. Okay, I'm not talking about the toilet. Obviously, the toilet is one thing altogether. But after you wash your hands and you dry your hands in a towel, what does the towel look like? A towel like crumpled up in a ball on the ground right behind the toilet? Because that's not the way it should be. If the towel is hanging, then wipe your hands on the towel and hang the towel. Hang the towel. Don't let it be anything else. And I know this sounds like it's such a, like a, so whatever it is. It is something that people look at, and it's something that's normal. Just have it up. If it's crumpled on the floor, right, then fold it up and put it where it's supposed to go. Don't leave a mess when it comes to a bathroom. That's not supposed to be there. Number eight, leaving the Seder to go read a comic book. Don't think this has never happened before. I've definitely seen it. See, the Seder's a long time. It's especially like Magid, you're all into it and everything's going on. During Motzi Matzah, Marah Korach, you're not leaving anywhere, right? You're all sitting around. Shulchan Aruch takes a long time, especially in our houses. Shulchan Aruch takes a long time. So what are you doing during that hour and a half when Shulchan Aruch is going on? So yeah, you're eating for some of it, you're singing for a little bit of it, you know, you have this, that, and the other to do. Then all of a sudden, you're like tired, you know? It's like 11:30, it's 12 o'clock at night. So you decide you got up and you wanted to read something so you can go to sleep a little bit up until we get to Afikoman, which, by the way, is a bit of a shiloh. Can you sleep before Afikoman? We won't talk about that for right now. You're getting up and you go to the side and you just start reading. And you just read, like, I don't know, an old Archie's comic that you have at your parents' house that hasn't been there since 1933, you know? You pick it up and you start going through a Calvin and Hobbes or a Far Side, whatever it is that you're going through. People notice that. Kids notice that. Kids see it. Kids see it. That is not the right thing to do. Not the right thing to do. If you're at the Seder, you're at the Seder. If you have nothing else to do, I can suggest certain books that you might be able to read at the Seder itself that you might be able to find interesting. Go through Magid again. You think you got everything? You think you were able to? I mean, come on, when they were going through Tehillah, they're reading through, go back and do it again. Right? Go figure out the Dayenus. What in the world does that mean if we would be at Har Sinai and we didn't get the Torah Dayenu? What? No. What do you mean? If I would have been to Har Sinai and they didn't give us the Torah, I'm like, no, give us the Torah. What does that mean? What is that talking about? If you would have allowed us to do everything, but you wouldn't have brought us to Eretz Yisrael, you just kept us in the desert for the rest of our lives, Dayenu. No, that is not true. I would never have said Dayenu that. I never would have been there. Like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, all right, guys, that's it. You're staying in the desert for the rest of your lives. I would not have said Dayenu. That's the last thing I would have said. I would have said, please, no. That's it. And the last thing, lying on the couch while your mom is preparing the Seder.
Oh.
Not a good call. Not a good call. Oh, mommy, I just need a nappy. I know you need a nappy. I've been up for the last 27 hours straight. I've been working off coffee and, like, jelly beans. That's all I've been doing. Right? Your mommy is sitting there working like an absolute dog, and you're sitting there, and you're just, like, either combing through the channels, like, reading something. You're just like, I need like, a 3.5-hour break, Mom. I'll be there in a second. I'll be able to help you. No, it's not. That's not good. I need to prepare for the Seder. Preparing for the Seder is helping your parents. This is a zman for keep it up aim, but it's more than just keep it up aim. It's a zman to be able to be a mensch, to be able to understand what it means to be around other people that are not other yeshiva guys, and being a mensch. Because around a yeshiva guy, you throw a towel on the ground, they're just like, that's right, that's where it belongs. I understand that. But when you're not around yeshiva guys, it's a totally different world. Completely different world. You can't act that way. You can't be that way. Change it. And that's what I mean by being strong. It's a different zman. It's a zman to use seichel. That's the zman. So use your seichel. Know what you got to do. Prepare yourself beforehand. Get yourself ready for it. So that's the idea behind it. Stop with that, guys. Have a great day.